Hello again, friends, neighbors, strangers and enemies. This is your daily devotion. It's Job, the book of Job. Thank you for joining us today on this lovely fall Saturday in Arthur, Illinois. Hope all is well with you and yours, and today we are moving up to chapter 6. We've just spent two chapters listening to the discourse of Eliphaz to Job as trying to convince him that he must come to some kind of terms with God because he's clearly done something wrong. He accuses Job of not being all that he thinks he is, having a chink in his armor. He tells Job that all of this wouldn't have happened if there hasn't been something wrong. Something that he might be keeping deep inside of him, might be a secret, but there's something within that's wrong. And even though he claims this to be true and is sure and certain that's how God works, it's not convincing. Job not only does not buy it, he's convinced all the insinuations are wrong, right? Remember at the beginning, Job gave us a scene from heaven, right? And told us who Job was, right? So let's see if that's true still. By the way, little addition to our introduction today. In Eliphaz's discourse, you may have noticed the seven troubles that God can deliver you from, right? And the seven troubles, let's see, in famine, he shall redeem thee from death. In war, from the power of the sword, from the scourge of the tongue, God will deliver from the fear of destruction when it cometh. He delivers from famine. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. And the last trouble is death. Those seven troubles that come up in that discourse also appear in Proverbs, by the way. Said the same seven troubles. So that's just interesting. Well, that's the end of Eliphaz's discourse. It hasn't meant anything to Job. It hasn't convinced him. It hasn't touched him. As a matter of fact, he's just dismayed. He's even alarmed and he cries out. Job cries out for mercy and for help because Eliphaz was no help at all. Chapter 6, the book of Job. We begin Job's reply to Eliphaz's discourse. Then Job replied, "If only my anguish could be weighed, and all my misery be placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas. No wonder my words have been impetuous. The arrows of the Almighty are in me. My spirit drinks in their poison. God's terrors are marshaled against me. Does a wild donkey bray when it has grass, or an ox bellow when it has fodder? Is tasteless food eaten without salt? Or is there flavor in the sap of the mallow? I refuse to touch it. Such food makes me ill. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant what I hope for, that God would be willing to crush me, to let loose his hand and cut off my life. Then I would still have this consolation, my joy in unrelenting pain, that I had not denied the words of the Holy One." What strength do I have that I should still hope? What prospects that I should be patient? Do I have the strength of a stone? Is my flesh bronze? Do I have any power to help myself now that success has been driven from me? Anyone who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. But my brothers are as undependable as intermittent streams, as the streams that overflow when darkened by thawing ice and swollen with melting snow, but that stop flowing in the dry season and in the heat vanish from their channels. Caravans turn aside from their routes. They go off into the wasteland and perish. The caravans of Tema look for water. The traveling merchants of Sheba look in hope. They are distressed because they had been confident. They arrive there only to be disappointed. Now you too have proved to be of no help. You see something dreadful and are afraid. Have I ever said, give something on my behalf, pay a ransom for me from your wealth, deliver me from the hand of the enemy, rescue me from the clutches of the ruthless? Teach me, and I will be quiet. Show me where I have been wrong. How painful are honest words. But what do your arguments prove? Do you mean to correct what I say and treat my desperate words as wind? You would even cast lots for the fatherless and barter away your friend. But now, be so kind as to look at me. Would I lie to your face? Relent. Do not be unjust. Reconsider, for my integrity is at stake. Is there any wickedness on my lips? Can my mouth not discern malice? And that concludes an amazing chapter. The first half of the first discourse of Job. Wasn't that wonderful? Chapter 6. We hope you enjoyed it. And we hope that your day is blessed with many, many miracles. Amen.